It's been an interesting stewardship month. I've not been secretive about how much I love it, even though I know for most of you it's your favorite time of the year. Roy read to me last night from his Sunday school lesson, and it said that people look at stewardship and Pledge Sunday and talking about giving, they look at it and they get just about as excited about it as they do a colonoscopy. So I hope that's not the case. I hope you haven't dreaded this month as much as that. But in spite of it all, you're here, and I guess I should be grateful for that. I will tell you that I do love this day. It is difficult to preach on stewardship, but when we began making this our harvest festival and combining it with our children's fun activity, I began to think about this day like the days of old, when people would gather together and bring what they had harvested that year and bring it together for a big, huge festival, to celebrate and be thankful for all that they had received. That's what this day is about, that blessing. There's something so beautiful about thinking about that. Even though we want it to be cool, crisp fall air, and it's not, we still can believe that, and we still can think that. For us to think this morning about the glory that has been shown us this year, despite some difficulties, despite some loss, despite some shortfalls, we all, each individually, have so much to be thankful for to God for this day. And today is our opportunity to do that. A couple of years ago, I asked you each Sunday to do what I asked you to do this morning, and that was to hold that plate and think about it as it passed you by, to say a little prayer for all that has been accomplished and all that we can accomplish. We did that because I think sometimes we kind of just pass the plate and we don't even think of it when we go by. We either give online, or we put our checks in our Sunday school folders, or we mail them in, or we may even drop them in the offering plate, but it goes by so fast, we don't think about the collectiveness of this plate and what it means when each person touches it. I love the fact that there was something carved on the back, JC. I had never heard that, but I love that. Because my sermon title today was, whose plate is this anyway? Is it the church's plate? Is it the staff's plate? Or is it God's? That's what I want us to talk about today. That this plate is not about the staff. It's not about this building. It's not even about this community. It's about God. I've talked quite a bit over the last few weeks about what we have been able to accomplish this year. I hope you've seen the brochure. If not, there's a stack of them back on the table. A brochure that we've talked about a lot of the things that we've done mission-wise in this year. And it's been a beautiful and wonderful year. There's also a pledge card that I hope you saw back there. And if you had not already filled out, you can do that. We're going to have a time in our service when you can place these in our church that I turned around because I had put it back. We'll also be taking these the rest of the year. Most of you have made a decision in your life. I look around here and most of you have made the decision to invest your life in this church through your membership or through the work that you do here, through your connections with Sunday school or the choir or the missions or through the ministries. Hopefully, you've invested your life here because you felt that this is where God called you to be. I hope that's true for each one of you. I hope you feel that God has called you to this place. And if you're a visitor, I'm so glad that you're here, and I hope you recognize all that this church does to follow God's call in our lives. But God calls us to invest ourselves in many areas of our lives. We invest ourselves in our career. We invest ourselves in our families. We invest ourselves in our relationships. But God calls us to invest ourselves in another way. God calls us to give of our finances also. And that's really hard for me and for others to stand up here and talk about, because it's a personal thing, not something that we need to share, not something that we generally discuss with each other, but it is something that I ask you to do with God. So bear with me today as we talk just a little bit about this plate and about giving. I got an email yesterday from Nathan, and he said, I'm confused about this scripture I'm supposed to read, and it's hard. He said, I've done a little research, and you might want to give some people some background before we read this scripture. And I laughed, because it is a little bit hard. Both scriptures today were a little bit hard. When I picked the scripture that Nathan read, I did think people probably don't know much about Titus. The thing that I think that we learn in this scripture about Titus is that God put this amazing concern for others in Titus's heart. Paul is raising money for this church in need. And while people are giving, there's not a lot willing to go. And Titus stands up and he says, I am. I feel like God wants me to go. And he's moved by God to make the journey. And sometimes we as Christians find ourselves just really too busy or too overwhelmed or just too hardened to allow ourselves to be used by God. I know sometimes I wake up in the morning and I see things like I did yesterday morning. And it saddens me. And I think to myself, I wish I could do something. But then I find myself saying, that's in Pittsburgh. What can I do? What can I do? It's just too much, and I've got my own problems, and there's nothing I can do from here. We can see the damage around Texas, Kingsland or Marble Falls or Austin or Port Aransas or Houston. Say, it's just too much. I, as one person, can't do anything. Titus's heart was moved. He said, I want to be moved. I want to be guided by God. I want to make a difference. I think about the mission trips that people from our church have gone on, and I've heard over and over and over when they return. And actually, the mission trips that I've gone on, there's apprehension at first. I don't know what I'll be able to do, but I'll go. All along thinking to myself, I have a million things to do at home. I have so many things that I need to get done. I have no business going somewhere else. And then people go. And people are changed. The work that they go to do for others changes them. So often it's hard to make a difference on our own. Sometimes it's hard to know where to start. But as a church, we join together our gifts, each having such unique and different gifts, and together we can make a difference in the lives of those around us. Together we can help. Together we can change. Together we can further the kingdom of God in our world. our Luke passage, while sounding very harsh, tells us exactly how to have the heart of Titus. We really see it in all of the disciples, being willing to set aside all the things that mean the most to you in this world, being willing to lay it all down and say, what matters most to me is God. I remember as a child being scared to death that God was going to call me to be a missionary. My dad joked once that missionaries lived in Africa and ate monkey meat. I was a little funny about eating in those days, and I lived in fear that I was going to have to learn to eat monkey. If I'm honest, I put some pretty strict restrictions on God, as most of you know. After probably a lifetime of God preparing me for ministry, when I finally gave in and said yes, I still said, but remember, God, I don't do so well in front of people, so I need to stay in the background. You know the saying, if you want to make God laugh, tell God your plans. You're probably saying, what does that have to do with stewardship? Luke calling each of us to place our priorities on God. I don't believe that God asked me ever to walk away from Roy or my family to serve. I don't believe God asked us to give away everything and live on the streets. Maybe some feel that way, but I don't. I don't believe that's what this passage is saying. I think what this passage is saying is make God first. If God is first in your life, then your relationships are better. If God is first in your life, then your family is better. If God is first in your life, then your finances will be right. If God is priority, then your heart is open to God's leadership and to using the gifts that God gave you to serve like the disciples, like Titus. This morning we sang two songs that really sum it all up for me. The third verse of Long Ago You Taught Your People says, in the lifestyle of the Spirit, giving has a central part. Teach us, Lord, this grace of sharing with a cheerful, loving heart. Not a tiresome obligation, not a barren legal due, but an overflow of worship. All we have belongs to you. And then we sang, all things are yours. We make that true when we return our gifts to you. And so we give, and so we share. In Christ's strong name, expressing care. Today we make our commitment to God to use our gifts, to give ourselves, to give of our finances. May your heart be open to listening to God.